And let's go around.
You tell your name and
where
from which country did you return?
My name is Ariel Schulz, I'm from Germany.
My name is Amir Niv from Brazil.
São Paulo?
Rio.
I family São Paulo.
Whoa.
I'm Gabriel from the United States.
Come on, there's no United States. This is the United States.
I'm from the Galut.
He just finished his green wash.
You don't need me. You have it already here. What do you need to speak to you?
Ariel Ben Avram from Colombia.
Nathaniel Fengendorf, Kiryat Moshe originally.
Brian Dudling from New Jersey.
My name is Amatya. I'm from India.
Akiva, Northern Ireland.
He is a Queens, New York.
Are you from the Republican side? Oh, you're a Protestant or the Catholic? You're from the Protestants?
I'm a Protestant Jew, yeah.
I know, what side are you on?
Yeah.
And he's from Queens, New York.
Yeah. Nachum Shlomo from Florida.
Where Florida?
Ocala. It's near Orlando.
That's the other side.
It's in the center.
Center.
Nachum Chazek to Korea. Where Hashem Shlomo that he made them leave. Chazek.
Very galut.
Yeah.
You would have been from Boston.
Menachem Lisno from Beit El, now give out a soft last
name. From New York.
Manhattan.
Shlomo Bloom from Italy.
And then
you. Emanuel Schwitz from Germany.
Mordechai Moskowitz from different parts of the U.S.
Different
places. Los Angeles, New York.
San
New York, of course. Eric Ambo from Germany.
Yechiel from Romania.
Avi from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Mayor from Queens, New York.
Mornings from Poland.
They will expect me to go over and remember all your names, right? Because then they say, what a great rabbi he is, what a smart man he is. I don't remember anybody's name. Anyway, what are my credentials to come here to speak to you about? I'm here for quite a while. My great-grandfather came to Israel, Palestine, in 1863. He came from Galicia. That's the south, you too, Galicia? Southwestern part of Poland. That's where, in order to be located a little bit better, that's where Auschwitz was, Galicia. And my grandfather was born here in Sfat. My father was born here. My two aunts went to Brazil to live in Sao Paulo. 1920s. My great grandchildren are born here. So we're seven generations here. That's my right to say something. I wasn't born here though. I was born in New York. But that's not my fault. I always had the question in my mind, what is preferable? You're born in Eretz Israel, then you have the language, you have your friends, you went to school together, you went to the army together, you're here. Or to be born in Chutz Laaretz, and at a mature age, decide, I'm leaving, I'm coming. And the feeling of coming off the plane, going down, and kissing the ground, that Israeli doesn't have that. Now then, he has other great things, so I don't know how to solve the problem, what is preferable. But this is good and that's good. It gives that you, the point is that we're here. I want to speak to you about, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, a change, there's a change in you. Has to be a change. And I want to demonstrate or explain what that change is and how it happened to me. When I came to Eretz Yisrael 52 years ago with my wife, the second or third day in the country, we came to Yerushalayim. And something happened in Yerushalayim, like Hashem, like sets you up. And in the beginning, you're so angry, and then all of a sudden, you see what Hashem did for you. We were young, my wife and I, once, and 52 years ago. And we took a taxi from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. And this taxi was a stretch DeSoto car, which I rarely saw even in the United States. What's it doing in Israel in 1962? Okay. We're going up towards Yerushalayim. It was like a special, like a private. It was like nine people in it. We're going up, and I was standing there, the driver. I'm in Israel already 3 days, so I already have chutzpah, right? And my great Hebrew, I said to him, how did you get such a beautiful car like this? And he says to me, I have two boys, I put them in the missionary school in Yafo, and they gave me a car. Wait, there's something wrong here. You have two sons, you put them to missionary school, Christians, and you got a car, and you gave away your two sons? Yeah, as if nothing happened. Now, when I came here, my idea was, my belief was, everyone in Eretz Yisrael is a tzaddik. Then I thought so. Now I know it's true, but for different reasons. I thought everyone is frum, everyone is religious. And it doesn't have to have a kippah. I say the three kind of kippah in this country. There's kippah shchora, a black kippah, kippah sruga, a nether kippah, and kippah shkufa, a transparent kippah. You don't see it, but he has it. Understand? And everyone has it. I'm looking at this man. You are two sons, you put them in a missionary school? I was already not happy. My wife was also not happy. Okay. You come to Shalai. Okay, we knew Shalai, your family. We don't know anybody walking around, looking up at the skyscrapers, the four-story buildings. And we come to a beautiful building on King George Street called Heichal Shlomo. A very beautiful building. Heichal Shlomo at that time is the seat of the high religious court, of the Supreme Court of the religious court.
Debating.
And then the deliberations were open for the public. So we walked in, my wife and I, we sit down to Rabbanim, and there was now a deliberation between a brother and a sister on the will of the mother. And we're looking, interesting. He says to her, "You never loved Mama, you just wanted her jewelry." And she says to him, "You hypocrite. You spoke so nice to her. I know what you felt in your heart to her." Wow, what's going on over here? The plane made a mistake. This is Tehran. This is not Eretz Yisrael. And after the drive of the car, the taxi, but it's two kids and now this is where I came from. Not where I'm going to. This is not Eretz Yisrael. Fighting over the world, the mother, and each one is a machine. Each one is accusing the other one. I said, I was in a bad mood. Obviously. I came here full of idealism, which I still have, maybe even more. But I was in a bad mood. The Bonish line, this and that, what I came here. That's what I gave up in America, in Brooklyn, the great Brooklyn, Flatbush, for this. My wife was even worse. I was crying. It was terrible. Okay, we go out from Echo Shlomo, and we went to a place called Rehov Bezalel. A nice, beautiful white building. We knock on the door. Guy comes out and he says, "Ken, ma yesh?" He says, "Anachnu olim chadashim. We're no olim. Olim chadashim? Come, I want to show you something." Takes us into this building. We go up to the top floor, the long corridor, and the rooms off the corridor. At the end of the corridor, are bars. Bars. Like a cell. But of the whole width of the corridor. And he told us, come close. Came close, we saw. There's a bed made a military style. You could take a coin and go boom, and it jumps up. And there was underneath the bed, there were two slippers, exactly. On the bed, and there's a night table with a book, and there's simanea, there's a bookmark inside the book. The man says, "This was the cell of Adolf Eichmann." Adolf Eichmann was a Nazi who was in charge of killing so many Jews from Hungary. Like in 6 months, they killed like half a million Jews. Now, a week before we came to Israel, he was hanged in Eretz Israel. His body was burnt, and the ashes were spread out over the Mediterranean, because we have a feeling of history here. Titus, the Roman general that destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, second Beit HaMikdash, he didn't want that the God of Israel should punish him. So he ordered that his body should be burnt and his ashes should be spread out over the Mediterranean. And the Gemara says every day Hashem brings together his ashes, makes to a body, gives them a patch, and then spreads them out again. And we have a feel of history. So he took his body, they burnt him, and spread his ashes out. It was a week before we came. I remember the trial went on in that building on the bottom floor, and every day they would take a picture of the trial and would send it to the United States. And 6 o'clock in the evening, we would see the trial that went on in the morning in Eretz Yisrael.
The news.
No, they sleep like half an hour every day. And I was like joint. I was like glued to the television. Everybody was to see what the Germans did, and the way the Jewish people came, and they didn't forget anything, and they took everything. It's just mamish. And here I am, standing in front of the cell of Adolf Eichmann, and you can see what it was. Ordnung. It's German. That's where the bed. They took him to be hanged. He had to make the bed. And he put the slippers, exactly, because that's Ordnung. That's the Germans are. And there was the bookmark inside, because that's what it was. Years later, I met the man that pulled the lever that opened up the floor. He hanged. He said he was unapologetic to the end. He didn't say, I'll hide Hitler, but he went. He went to German. He went. Anyway, I'm standing over there saying, Rabbanu Shloim, Toda Rabba. Thank you. I know what you did to me. You set me up. But this crazy driver of the taxi that gave his children over to the missionary, and the brother and sister, these are people. People, all kind of people. But this is Medina Yisrael. This is what the Medina means. Individuals with all the fallacies, all the weaknesses. But this Medina Yisrael, the name of Am Yisrael, can catch an arch murderer of the Jewish people in Argentina and bring him secretly on a plane, El Al plane, and bring him here and put him on trial in Yerushalayim in the name of Am Yisrael. That's the difference. Hashem put me down, and He raised me up. This is Medina Yisrael. That's the much I want to tell you. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, there's a difference between, for example, moving from T-neck to Great Neck. In Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Aretz, people live in communities. You know, I'm a Jew from L.A. I'm a Jew from there. You don't have the feeling that you're part of a nation, because you're not part of the nation. In Chutz Aretz, you don't go to the army. I say once that we narrate the show, we have eye trouble. Why eye trouble? America also has eye trouble. American eye trouble is ego. It's for me. I want it. I want it now, and I want all of it. We have eye trouble too. Eye trouble is that I have to do it. I have to fight. I have to work. I have to teach. I have to do everything. There are no non-Jews here that don't go to the army. We'll go to college. Let's work out here. We have eye trouble. We have to do it ourselves. In Chutz Aretz again, you have communities, but you have communities with problems. What happens to the Jew, say, in Seattle, doesn't really affect the Jew living in New Jersey. Yeah? But in Eretz Yisrael, we're so small, and we're so together, and we're so surrounded. Whatever happens to anyone in Eretz Yisrael, everybody's affected. He's the only country, I think, in the world where there's an automobile accident of a kid, a little girl, 4 years old, is hit by a car in Tiberia, they announce it 5 times on the radio. Why? Because a little girl, 4 years old in Tiberia, that's hit by a car, everybody feels it. Because that's who we are. We're together. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to make a mental switch. I'm not part of a city, of a town, of a community. I'm part of a nation. And part of the nation is my responsibility. Because if I don't do it, nobody's going to do it. In Eretz Yisrael, we're so few, and the tasks are so many, that everybody here makes a difference. If you're a physician in America, one more, one less doesn't mean that much. If you're a physician in Eretz Yisrael, whatever you do is important. Remember, when I used to teach in yeshiva, there was a yeshiva called BMT, no chashu. Very good yeshiva. For people from Chutz Aretz, the return rate was 15%. Remember BMT? But it was very nice. I used to say to the boys the first day, it's better to be a dustman, like the garbage collector in Eretz Yisrael, than to be a Rosh Yeshiva in Chutz Laaretz. They look at me this way, says, how do we fall into this man's hands? How do we fall into him? But what? After a year, they realize that is true. Because whatever you quote, being a rabbi there, your job is actually, and it's true, to prevent people from coming here. The fact is, they do. When's the last time your rabbi in the synagogue, in the shul, spoke about Aliyah? The two subjects that people tell me, rabbis in America don't talk about. Don't discuss it at all. The Aliyah Eretz Yisrael, the other is honesty in business. You'll never hear rabbis speak about honesty because then half his members get up and walk out. This was here in Eretz Yisrael. I remember many years ago I met a man from Bnei Brak, many years ago. He told me a story about his dad, a daughter, normal girl, I think Beit Yaakov, I remember. All of a sudden, one day, she got closed into herself. Very, very, very closed. And he said, what happened? What happened? He tried to open her up, tell me what happened. She didn't want to say what happened. Introvertish, terribly introvertish. Didn't want to speak to any friends. She came up from school, went to a room, closed, terrible. And then one day, she told him what happened. She never knew what her father did for a living. Many people don't know exactly what our parents did for a living. As long as they give you the keys on Saturday night, what do you care? To the car. One day, she's riding in a bus, and she sees her father paving the roads between Bnei Brak and Petah Tikva. And she was so embarrassed that her father is paving the roads. She never knew what he did. And she closed herself in, and she was mortified by the idea that my father is paving the roads. And then the man said to me, I sat down with him, and I said to her, my daughter, he says, I pave the roads. On that road that I'm paving between Bnei Brak and Petah Tikva, millions of people are going to go over the years. Go to mitzvahs, he's going to go to learn yeshiva, he's going to go to visit someone who's ill, it's a doctor going to treat a patient on the road that I made. She heard it. She understood. In Eretz Yisrael, things are different. When I say it's better to be whatever I do here, it's like you could be in a stadium and watching a game. You don't have such a good ticket. You're not in the bleach. You're not in the box. You're in the bleach or something, but you're there. If you're not in the stadium, you're not here. Bachla. Doesn't matter what you are. You're not here. When you're not in Eretz Yisrael, you're not part of it. Just not part. Unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, all of us are brothers and sisters. We are. In Chutz Laaretz, we're stepbrothers and stepsisters. Maybe. And that's the way it is, and there's no way you can change it. When you come, you have to have a different mental switch. The mental switch, what the Jews in the Midbar, in the desert, were not able to make. They didn't want to come to Eretz Yisrael because it meant leaving the luxury of being in the desert for 40 years and eating the manna, not having to work. And you want to come to Eretz Yisrael because here's responsibility. Here, when you come, it's something else. I can say one of the most proudest days of my life was when I put on a uniform when I was in the army. Actually, I was not in the army, I was in the Air Force. As an anti-aircraft unit, I said, if I can't fly, no one's going to fly. And I was there for 15 years, 30 days every year in the assignment. And it was hard, and you cursed the moment, but then afterwards, I defended Eretz Yisrael. Because it was rich, and you have to change, it's a change. I'm not part of a community, I'm part of a nation. Because what I think is someone in Kiryat Shmona is also thinking, and someone in Eilat is also thinking. We're in it together. When war breaks out, you never saw brotherhood, what it means. Everyone is a brother and a sister in this country. I did a lot of things in this country. I deported almost every official institution in the country. I was in the army. I was in jail.
Why?
Can't say. Demonstrating. I demonstrated.
Freedom of speech.
No, it was the time of the Robin era, and it was terrible. Taking down settlements. I was in a hospital once also. I was at one of them. A lot of things here. In fact, I'm writing an autobiography. An autobiography, the writer is the hero of the book, right? That's by me, it's not the way. My autobiography, the hero of the book is Eretz Yisrael. What I swear, what I did here. So many people. I was also an assistant to a minister in the government for 2 years, which is very interesting. Israeli government. First of all, it's just a miracle that it stays together. I was the assistant to the Minister of Religious Affairs in 1972. And the Ministry of Religious Affairs is not the biggest ministry in the country. It's not like the Ministry of Defense, but it's the most interesting. Of course, in Eretz Israel, religion speaks to everybody. The most sensitive thing in this country. Let me tell you a little bit about this. I remember once our minister had to write a letter to some archbishop in Rome. And I used to write all of his letters. And I knew the subject I'd write. He would say yes, he would say no. Anyway, he had to write a letter to this big guy, archbishop in Rome. And I wrote the letter to Monsignor so-and-so. So. I give it to the minister to sign, he signs it. And we had a department for Christian communities. And the head of the department, I gave him the letter, he said, check it over. He comes in, a huff and a puff. He's angry. What happened? I got to see the minister. I let him in. He says, you can't send such a letter. Why not? You have to write your holiness, your beauty tide. I said, I'm not going to write beauty tide. Here's what it is. See, anyway, the minister was a very, very serious man. Dr. Vahavtik, Tami Chacham, he's a Litvak. He started to smile, which is not so strange. And he said, okay, you write the letter. You get me off the hook. I remember once, there was, before we had diplomatic relations with the Vatican, we had, sometimes we did not have, we didn't recognize them, they didn't recognize us. It was mutual love. And then, but Israel had, or the Vatican would send, I think it was an archbishop, because they have a lot of property here in Eretz Israel. On vast properties, the church. And also the ministry would help them by giving them back purchase taxes and all kind of things. They would get money from us. The one that was till then was retiring, and they're sending a younger one to take his place. According to the protocol, I had to meet him at the outside of the ministry and bring him into the minister. Okay, protocol. I go out, he comes out of the car, tall man with a blue velvet gown, and a big cross on his chest, and a big chazan hat like this, and I like a suit. Okay, how do you do? Now, there's a rule in all these things, in these meetings, you don't talk about anything substantial, only shtuyot. How's the weather, and how's your accommodations, and how's your wife? They never wife, that we know. Okay, we go into the that we know. We went into the room, and he sits down in an armchair. The minister sits on the couch, on the other side of the couch. And we're talking about shtuyot, wasting my time, wasting the minister's time. And then the woman came in from the cafeteria. She brings coffee and cake, puts on a little table. And the minister says to this man, he takes a piece of cake, eats. The minister takes a piece of cake and makes a bracha. Not the monster of leader. No. He said, look, you say a bracha. I took a piece of cake. I made a bracha. And he eats without a bracha. You have to picture the scene. This man, he looks like the gospel himself, representing the church of a billion. He eats. And I saw the minister like smiled a little bit. Because he had. And then he says, coffee. cup of coffee, he drinks. Mr. takes it, makes a bracha, he drinks. And now I see he had a big smile now. We finished speaking about the shtuyot, he leaves. Now we sat and we started to analyze what happened that day. A Jewish child has a good Jewish education. 5 or 6 years old, by, it's a knee jerk. It's a reaction. It's a, what's it called? A reflex. We're not making a bracha. That new child brought up in that kind of way. But this man who represents the church himself, he doesn't even think to say grace to Hashem. Maybe after a big meal, maybe he'll say grace. But a piece of cake. And anyway, that's only one story. I met many people, many religions in this country. As I can tell you that nothing comes like the Rabbanim. That's something else. No, that's something. We're something else. Let's go back to, forget about me, I get lost sometimes, my memories. Talk about you. The place for a Jew is in Eretz Israel. When Hashem wanted to punish us, the Jewish people 2,000 years ago for misbehavior, what was the worst thing you could think of? Send us away. Send us away. Like a teacher, you don't act properly, go and bring your parents. Send you away. 2,000 years we've been away. That's 80 generations. It means 80 times parents are given over to their children, the whole gamut of Judaism. That's a lot. Remember, we used to play a game called Telephone, I think it was called?
Yeah.
That I whispered to you a sentence, you whispered, and it comes back without any relationship to what I said. Everyone hears something different and it makes it. 80 times parents give over the Torah to the children, no change. There is no precedent for such a thing anywhere in the world that people kept faith with the land for 2,000 years. I remember in college, we used to learn English, we used to learn Old English, Chaucer, fairy lady, maybe I read these things. You couldn't understand the words. It's English, but it's not English. Today,
Akiva probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Irish English. Yeah.
It's nothing, it's something else. In Eretz, here, we, if you met a contemporary of yours that lived 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, everything's in common. Same language, same Shabbat. We're a little more machmen than they were. We have the same Shabbat, the same Torah. The mainstream of Jewish life and the Yemenites, well, 1,000 years we had no meeting. We came together, everything's the same. Only Jewish people do that way. We do everything differently. We are a special thing. Now I can suggest that the world would love us, pick us up in their hands, and dance with us in the streets. And the negation of anti-Semitism. Very simple. The two chief rabbis got up and they said, we are not God's chosen people. They would love us. The fact is that we are God's chosen people. Whatever we do, just take a look around. What we did in this country, a little country on the edge of the desert, surrounded by enemies. And 1948, 600,000 Jews. In a 1 year, they took another million Jews. In the middle of a war. Only there's this invisible hand covering the Jews in Eretz Israel that protects us. We are God's chosen people. And anti-Semitism stems from the fact that the Goyim know it also. We are a mystery to the world. People are afraid of mysteries. You go into a room with light, turn off the light, and all of a sudden you feel, because you can't see now what's going on. It's a mystery. The Jews are mysterious. There's only one proof that's a God in the world. There's a God in the world. You can't prove it not by quantum physics, not by chemistry, not by astronomy. No way you can prove there's a God. Whatever you say, someone says something else. There's only one proof that there's a God in the world, and that's Jewish survival. And our return to Eretz Israel. And God is a religious Zionist. Because we say every day, we say Hashem Yish Milchama, God is a man of war. He goes to the army. He doesn't hide behind the Gemara. Anyway, I think that I spoke enough. I just want to say on one foot, seriously. Coming to Eretz Israel is coming home. It doesn't mean it's a rose garden, Because again, you have eye trouble. It's us. We got to do it. If we don't do it, no one else is going to do it. Rabbi mentioned I write books. Someone's asked me, what did I learn from the writing of my books? What did I learn? I learned a very simple thing. That nothing in that book is there unless I wrote it. Not a period, not a comma, not a semicolon, if you know when to use that ever. If you don't do it, it's not there. In our country, in Eretz Yisrael, we got to do it. And if we don't do it, it may not get done. And the responsibility of being a Jew is very weighty in this country, because it's our country. And it's a zchut, it's a privilege to be here. Not everybody will make it to Eretz Yisrael. Not everybody wants, and not everybody who wants is able to. To be able to do it is a privilege, a privilege. The hardships are a privilege. Let me just finish like a little dogma. It's a man in love with a woman. She says, I'll marry you, but you have to swim the English Channel. That's not easy, right? Every time you pick up your hand, you have to a mile. But every time, every pain he has is joy. Why? Because he knows what the final thing is. The difficulties here is joy. At that moment, it's difficult. But you see, what you're doing it for? You're doing it, first of all, for you, your children, and your grandchildren. What kind of grandchildren? What kind of... No. Believe me, it happens very fast before you know it. Great-grandchildren and generations to come. I always say that a person really remembers the name of his great-grandfather, great-grandmother. They may remember my family. My great-grandparents are very, very known. The name comes, why? Because they brought us there to Israel. And they'll be remembered forever. And years to come, you'll be remembered by your great-grandchildren. Of course, you came there to Israel. The idea is, Jews, we have a compass. A compass is one thing. A compass always points in one direction. Always points north. It doesn't matter where you hold it. We have a compass. Our Jewish compass is, the way I understand it, two things. Like the world has true north, has magnetic north. And they're about 2-3 degrees off of each other. But it's a double north. Torah and Eretz Israel. Whatever strengthens the Torah, ever strengthens Eretz Yisrael, that's the way to go. No matter who tells you differently, no matter what Sama says to you, like this or like this, whatever you do in life, the compass is it good for Torah? Is it good for Eretz Yisrael? If it's good for one without the other, then it's not true. True north, magnetic north. And I wish you with all my heart that you all succeed here, be happy here, and like I am. I tell you, and it's the only place to be. The greatest experience in life is to be born a Jew or to become a Jew, because then you make a bridge, then you make a covenant with eternity, not just this world, the next world. There's a lot more to say, but I'm tired, and there's no food.
Thank you. Rav has to get to Mincha, but does anyone have any particular questions you would like to address or ask the Rav before he goes to Mincha? Then we're wishing the Rav a lot of health and a lot of continued nachat from Am Yisrael for your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
I have a son who was supposed to become a general this summer.
General?
He's a colonel now.
Wow.
Where?
He's the head of Israel's biggest training base, near Yerucham.
Shatov, Amazatov.
A colonel. And Rav Hashem. Man, he went to Hesdi Yeshiva. This is about 20-something years ago. And after a year and a half of learning, he went to the army. He came to me one day and he says, Abba, the army wants me to officer school. Rosh Yeshiva wants me. What should I do? First of all, it's very nice that a child asked a father to now generations. I thought that was very nice. I said to him, Tishma, if you feel that you can be a great religious leader, and you'll be an officer, go to yeshiva. If you feel you can be a great leader of men, but Talmid Chacham, kacha kacha, go to the army. Wherever you'll do more for Am Yisrael, that's where you go. And he sat and he thought about it and he went to the army. And he's rising all the time and said this summer, according to the way it's supposed to be, he's supposed to become a general. And now, B'zat Hashem, B'zat Hashem. But you never know until it happens, you know. The army has promises, but it doesn't matter. It has its own way. Anyway, you guys will all be generals when you come to Eretz Yisrael.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen